Welcome to Spill the Beans, a podcast hosted by me, Kelly Jo, where I have conversations with friends about life, love, faith, and anything else they want to spill the beans about. On this week's episode, I talk with Mel, one of the coolest chicks that you'll ever meet. She's beautiful, carefree, and full of wit and wisdom. I'm so excited to share this week's conversation we had about the dating rules that Mel did or didn't follow, and how her life has unfolded since the last episode that she was on 2 years ago. The life experience and advice that she shares is just what I needed to hear that day we talked, and I'm hoping that you'll enjoy listening in as well. I have my friend Mel here for Spill the Beans with Mel.
Yeah.
So, Mel, you were on Spill the Beans 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
April of 2015.
Oh my gosh, that was so long ago.
Yeah.
And you and I met in grad school. We don't have to go through the whole thing, but you and I met in grad school. We became friends. And then we just kept being friends.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We just kept being friends.
Yeah, through all life's ups and downs. And you came on the podcast to talk about some of the things you were noticing about online dating.
Yeah.
Online tips. Some of the tips that you gave us. Yes, that's right.
And anecdotes.
Yes, it was great. And if you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it. I think it was episode 3.
Yep, episode 3.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, listen to it first because it'll be more fun to listen to this.
Exactly. So pause this, listen to it, come back. And it's been 2 years. And so we were talking at the food carts a couple weeks ago and how we want to update our listeners, listeners, and then kind of get an update on life and what you're doing. And also now, what does life look like? And did you follow any of your tips / rules or whatever?
Yeah.
And where did that lead you?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So what's funny is I actually listened to that episode earlier today. And I was, like, crying, laughing so hard because we're funny.
We are funny.
And I was also really impressed by my 2 years ago self.
Yeah.
I had some really good tips.
I was, like, really impressed.
I was like, oh, all right. Yeah. I knew what I was talking about a little bit.
Good job.
Yeah, and I was listening to it, and I was like, I mean, I think that in my continuance of online dating for the next 6 months about after we recorded that podcast, I mean, I think I still really followed those, most of those tips, except for one. I broke.
Which one?
One rule. Well, they weren't rules, but I broke one and ended up working out pretty well for me. But that one was not messaging guys first.
Right.
I kind of just got to a place where I realized, like, you know what, and I had wrestled with this and gone back and forth with this, but I am not a shy person. I'm a very direct person. Like, I'm not afraid to initiate conversation. I'm not afraid to bring up a topic. I mean, sometimes I'm afraid, but I do it anyway because I think it's healthy.
In real life.
In real life. Yeah. I'm an initiator. I just am. An initiator, I think, in friendships sometimes, and if I want to hang out with someone, you know, any of my friends, like, I'm just going to text them. If I meet somebody at yoga class and I think they're cool, I'm going to talk to them and try to be friends.
Exactly.
So I just realized, like, you know what? I think I need to get over this whole not messaging guys first, or maybe the type of guys I was messaging weren't the right type of guys. And so I did, I don't want to say I lowered my standards because I didn't lower my standards, but I did decide that maybe the types of people that I was attracted to online weren't the type of people that were going to be, like, life partner material. Right. They were, you know, a lot of people who had really similar interests and similar things in common with me. But I decided maybe I needed to branch out a little bit and start being more open to people who maybe didn't have all the same interests as me or had really different interests, but seemed to have similar, like, characteristics or things they were looking for.
Yeah.
So, and then I think, too, like, the physical aspect, like, I decided I needed to, like, be a little more forgiving. It's hard when you're looking at a physical you know, profile, yeah, like pictures, and totally, you're like, this guy's a babe. Exactly. And then there's other guys where you're like, well, yeah, I mean, he's fine.
Yeah.
You know, so I started being like more open to like the guys who like weren't like, you know,
didn't have the greatest Brad pictures.
Pitt. Yeah. Or maybe didn't have,
yeah,
like super hot photos, but, right, but had good content.
Yes.
On, yeah, their profiles.
Yeah.
And so I started messaging some guys. And
that met those things, the criteria.
Yeah, that were just more like, just open, oh, to
whatever.
Yeah, this guy's a little different, and he's talking about some like tech things that I don't understand. Or, you know, he's mentioned some of his interests are really different than mine, but his interests are interesting to, yes, me. Like, that's, okay, I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Even though it's not like, oh, we both like hiking and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I messaged, there was three guys, right, kind of in a one period of time.
Okay.
And
that you messaged first.
That I messaged first.
Got it.
Yep, and all of them sort of fit this new profile.
Oh, okay.
Of like maybe not as attractive, you know, as like
what you used to
what be. I would ideally be Got going it. For. But really good content on their profiles, mm-hmm, and really seemed interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And all three of them I resulted in dates.
Yeah.
One of them resulted in two dates. On the second date, I was like, done. No. I was like, you're really nice, but like, I'm gonna go.
Yeah.
And I did. I just left, which was my own advice.
Yeah, you did, yeah, say that. That, yep, is that going well? You could just leave. Yep. You don't have to stay,
yeah,
and suffer.
Yep. Yeah, we played a round of mini golf on our second date, and yeah, I was done. So I said, hey, I need to go feed the meter at my car. So I went back to my car, and I was like, actually, I'm just gonna go. Thanks. And it was actually really hard for me was to do it? That. Yeah, I actually got, and when I got him, he left, and I could tell he was disappointed. Mm. And I, like, teared up a little, because I felt bad for him, because I've been in that situation.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I felt, like, this weird guilty pull, like, maybe I need to, like, go run after him or something. But I was like, no. Stop it.
I'm very curious, what kinds of things did you say in the introductory? Like, hey...
Oh my gosh, I don't even remember. I think I just
something
said like
funny,
you seem cool, or like, hey, I liked your profile, mm-hmm, like, and I like this specific thing.
Got
and
it. Yeah.
Maybe you want to get a drink sometime. Mm.
Just totally putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of similar to what I had done before.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. The super hot guys probably get so many messages, you know.
I would think so.
So, but yeah, I mean, not, you know, again, these guys were not unattractive, but just different,
yeah,
you know, different manifestations of, like, what would maybe normally be my, like, physique ideal.
Yes, yes.
And one of the guys, we went on a date, and it was just kind of obvious that, I don't know, I didn't like his attitude, and I don't think he liked me.
Oh, okay.
And so we just had, like, a quick drink, and said bye and, mm-hmm, just like never heard from each other again, which was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And the third guy, I wrote him a message, and I don't even remember what he had said something about in his like favorite foods or favorite things. He mentioned corn dogs, and okay, I definitely have like a big affinity for corn dogs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I think that was my opening line, was something about like, hey, corn dogs.
It was
really smooth.
Oh. Okay.
And I think what I said was something along the lines of like, I can't believe there's not like an artisanal corn dog food cart in Portland, and like, yeah, I keep thinking maybe I should start one. And then he wrote back like, oh yeah, like I've always thought like a Greek corn dog with like lamb sausage and like a tzatziki dip would be good. And I was like, yeah, that sounds rad.
That's
and
so awesome.
We met up for a drink. And
did
I was,
you get a corn dog?
No.
Oh.
No, we just met up for drinks. And I was 15 minutes late to our date.
You,
I was totally the bad one. I was disrespectful. But I texted him and said I was going to be late.
Yeah.
And that date led to another date, which led to another date, which led to another date.
Another date.
And lots of dates. And eventually we decided that we wanted to be in a relationship with,
yeah,
each other. So, hey, it worked out for,
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it did.
It worked out, writing the message first. And
and letting go of the like the thoughts that you needed certain types of,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, because he's really different,
mm-hmm,
than I am in terms of his interests.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's perfectly happy to like play Zelda for hours.
Is that a video game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He doesn't do the shooter video games, so.
Oh, okay. Cool, so that's a little better.
But he really likes video games. Mm-hmm. And that was actually something that I was, like, not super into. Yeah. But, you know, like, he's responsible with it.
Okay.
You know, he's not, like, always playing video games.
That makes
it's something difference. He does to unwind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think he's, like, really a healthy video game user. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And, I mean, he likes TV shows that I don't like. Like, weird stuff that is, like, really obscure.
Yeah.
And, like, comedy that's really awkward and, like, I can't handle. Uh-huh. And, you know, he's constantly, like, quoting these things. And I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. But I just, like, go with it. So, yeah, it's funny how, like, the people that maybe you have all these amazing things in common with, but their life goals or their, like, life dreams or their things that they care about or their moral code or whatever don't line up with yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all about interests, which is, I guess that makes sense. It's not all about interests. But I think when you're looking at, you know, a profile on a page, someone on paper, you know, you're like, oh, check, check, check. You know, someone can check all these boxes of things that you're interested in and that matter to you.
Yeah.
But that still doesn't say how they're going to treat you or what they actually ultimately want out of life or what kind of a partner they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so
yes,
true.
You know, Pete likes to play Zelda a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He really likes it. But you know what? He'll sit and watch 8 hours of Gilmore Girls with me when I'm sick and also like it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't mean
that's a win for me.
Yeah, huge win. Yeah. 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 Score. I scored big time.
Yeah.
So, it's funny how, you know, when you're looking for someone online or you know, I mean, like, when we were both online dating, like, I think we were also, of course, very open to meeting someone in real life, too, right?
It's
it's your sort of main focus tends to be the online thing, but you're also very open to meeting someone in real life. And there were definitely people that I met in real life that I had crushes on.
Yes.
You know, but it never panned out or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference, I guess, is with online is you have all this information about somebody before you meet them.
Strangers.
Yeah, total strangers.
Yeah.
And it's really impossible to put a whole person onto a dating profile, even a really complex, comprehensive one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you still don't you still don't have all the information.
Right.
So you know, I think my advice about asking those questions like, how is this person treating me and how do I feel with this person and all of that, those things really worked out well for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, like, anytime I asked that question about Pete, like, it was, well, he's really respectful.
Mm.
You know, he didn't try anything on the first date. Like, he just gave me a hug and said it was great to meet me. And and I remember thinking, huh, cool. Like, that guy was really cool. Like, I'd totally hang out with him again. And that was kind of it. I wasn't obsessing about whether I was going to hear from him or am I ever going to hear from him again. Or I was just like, this guy's super rad and I genuinely, like, want to get to know him.
Yeah.
And we just kind of kept hanging out.
Yeah.
And what's funny is our third date, which was kind of like, I guess, the turning point where I really was like, oh, okay, I really like this guy.
Mm.
I didn't want to go on it with him.
Why?
Well, I had invited all of my girlfriends to go watch the swifts, which are those birds that, like, swoop into the chimney in Northwest Portland. So I really wanted to go watch the swifts with a bunch of my girlfriends and have, like, a picnic and just have girl time.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say the caveat to that is I was definitely in a place where I didn't care a lot about dating and I was really, like, loving my life and I had just been telling a bunch of my girlfriends, like, how much I was loving my life as a single person and how I was really comfortable and didn't really, almost was ready to turn off my online dating accounts for a while and just enjoy my life, but I decided to just kind of, like, keep them on and not be as invested mm-hmm. and not spend as much time and just if I felt like it. And I think I'd probably already been on the first date with Pete when I was telling my friend this.
Okay.
Which is funny.
Not expecting.
Expecting for things to progress with yeah. him. Not expecting it, but definitely wasn't like, oh my gosh, I just met this guy. OMG. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to like hear from him, or is he going to call me? Or, you know, it was just kind of like, yeah, he was cool and yeah. he keeps texting me. And so all of my girlfriends I invited to go watch the Swifts were busy. And I was like so bummed because I really wanted to like hang out with my girlfriends and do this fun night. And one of my friends was like, just invite that boy that you've been seeing. And I was like, I don't want to go with a boy. I want to go with like my girls.
Yeah.
And so I was like, fine. So I invited him. And he was like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, I totally want to go do that with you.
Okay.
I was like, great. And I said, well, should we do a picnic or we could like get something to eat afterwards nearby mm-hmm. or whatever. He's like, oh, yeah, picnic. I said, okay, cool. And I'm thinking like, all right, picnic's fine, but that means I'm gonna have to make a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Because
it's expected.
This dude's not gonna like yeah. know what dude is gonna actually like make stuff yeah. or buy stuff. Or... And I, about 5 minutes later, he sends me this text like, okay, so I'm gonna make hummus and I'm gonna get a bunch of cheese and pita and like, I'm going to have this whole olives. I'm going to make this whole... There's going to be this whole Mediterranean spread. That's and I was awesome. Like, oh, cool. So I'll bring wine?
Question mark?
And he was like, sure. And maybe some, like, plates and utensils. And I was like, yeah, I can do that. And it felt really weird to not be the one yeah. doing all of the investment.
Yeah.
And I show up, and he's pulling things out of this... you know, cooler bag that he's brought. And it's like obvious that he has made a lot of this stuff himself. He didn't just wow. buy it. And I'm sitting there realizing he worked all day. It was a Friday night. He worked all day. And so it wasn't like he made this, mm-hmm. like, it's not like he just, as an afterthought, swung by the store and like, grabbed this stuff mm-hmm. on his way home from work.
He took time.
Like, he planned it out.
Yeah.
And he, like, went to the store mm-hmm. sometime that week, mm-hmm. bought the stuff, and at least the night before mm-hmm. made all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching him pull the stuff out, and I'm realizing how much time and investment he's put mm-hmm. into this, and I'm like, all right, sir. Now you have my attention.
I see you.
Like, whoa. No one had ever...
Yeah.
No guy had ever done something like that. I mean, you know, guys had done things for... But that sort of planning ahead and, like, yeah. that care and that thought really
especially
caught my attention.
Around food, too. I mean,
yeah.
that's a huge
yeah.
area of your life of loving food and creating food.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so cool.
So I'm like, oh, he can cook.
That's so cool.
My hummus is still way better than this. We'll forget
it. A for effort.
Yeah, A for effort, for sure. Yeah, so he really caught my attention that night, and after that, I was kind of like...
I'm so glad you invited him.
We're on.
I'm so glad all the ladies were busy, so that you had to invite him.
I know.
So that you...
My last resort. Yeah. He was my last resort.
Yeah.
Which, if only he... I mean, I'm sure he'll listen to this, and he'll be like...
He'll be like, okay.
Rolling his eyes. But yeah, so then it was like, oh, I'm in this relationship, and...
Yeah.
Like, now what?
I remember meeting at, I think it was Toro Bravo or some restaurant.
Sounds right.
And you were kind of like, yeah, so I have a boyfriend. And I was like, what?
Yeah. It just kind of happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, I was the one who... It's funny because he made it very clear that he was interested in me. He kept texting me.
Okay.
Obviously, he made this whole... meal, mm-hmm. you know, he travels a lot for work, and it was the fall when we met. It was Labor Day weekend, actually, that we met, and he was like, essentially, like, I'm gonna be gone a lot this fall,
mm-hmm.
so I was like, oh, okay, whatever. But then I realized, like, he would make so much time, like, he would go out of his way to, like, do his errands mm-hmm. and do his laundry and do all the things he needed to do on, like, a Friday mm-hmm. so that he could hang out with me on the weekend.
Mm.
And when I look back at that, and especially now that I know his routine so well, I'm like, oh, like, he really made an effort to spend time with me and really put a lot of thought and planning into it, which is how I am. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how I am if I want to spend time with someone.
Yeah.
But it was really different to have a guy do that. I think historically I've been really interested in unavailable people or people who weren't as available. Mm-hmm. And it was actually, in a lot of ways, it was really uncomfortable for me to be dating someone who was available and who was giving me attention and feedback. Yeah. It felt, I was so relaxed, and I think I was so used to always being on edge and like, when am I going to hear from this guy? Yeah. And is he going to drop off the face? And I don't think I've ever, I don't think I've ever had that fear or worry. I know, in fact, I know I haven't with Pete. Like, I've never been worried that he wouldn't call me back or show up or be invested.
What a relief.
Yeah. It's such a relief. After all this time. Yeah. But it's also uncomfortable when you're not used to it. Yeah. And it was something that
in the beginning
I remember struggling with and talking to my friend, talking to friends about, like, it's just so weird. Like, I don't have to do all the work. And
it's so weird that he texts me back. Yeah. It's so weird that he wants to keep hanging out with me.
Yeah. And I mean, there were plenty of guys who would text me back and want to hang out with me. But the level of respect and, like, the level of investment that he was giving me was really much higher.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, there's no question in my mind that this guy is interested in me. Mm. But what's funny is I am the one who was like, hey, like, do you want to be my boyfriend? Like, is that what's happening? And he was like, hell yeah. So that was kind of how we decided to, like, okay, I guess we're in a relationship. But it's funny that, I mean, I think he was already there, but I had to kind of get there myself and be... I think he was just kind of waiting for me to get there, maybe. Yeah.
That's cool, though, that, like, he cared for you in such a kind way, but then he was patient with you.
Super
patient. To get there.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he still does those things.
Yeah.
Like, he's still patient. He's still kind.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
99% of the time.
Of course. There's some off days, of course.
Yeah.
We're human. So tell me about, like, I mean, you spent a couple years being single and then in the face of being in a relationship, it's like going in really positive ways and you're like, okay, this is like happening. Mm-hmm. What is that like to transition from being a strong independent woman that's single and like waving that flag to like, oh, like I maybe have found a partner and now... This is weird. Like, what do we do?
Now what?
Now what?
For sure, yeah. There's definitely... I feel like I've had a lot of moments of like, okay, I'm in a relationship, and now what? And I think what's cool has just been, like, we kind of naturally just have similar life rhythms, I think, and similar, like, preferences about how we spend our... I mean... Maybe we have different interests, but we both, like, kind of like to have a lot of, like, downtime, and we're both good at planning things, and so I feel like we just kind of naturally, it naturally worked itself out in terms of spending time together and having time apart. I definitely need a lot of alone time, a lot of personal space, and he does too, although I don't know that he would be able to verbalize that, but he definitely likes his own space and is totally cool with me just, like, making plans with friends, and I tend to be a little bit more extroverted and, like, need to have friend time.
Yeah.
And he, I think, is fine hanging out by himself, like, 95% of the time.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, just happy to do his own thing. And doesn't feel that, like, need to spend as much time with other people. So in that way, it's been easy because I've never felt like I had to compete with anybody else for time or scheduling. He's just very available. Yeah, I think there definitely have been times, though, where I felt like I do so much more social stuff, mm-hmm. and I sometimes feel guilty, you know, because he's not always invited or involved. You know, I need, like, time to do my own thing.
Yeah.
And so that's been, he has never voiced, like, any sort of concern or any sort of, like, being upset about, but that's definitely been an adjustment for me and is going to be more of an adjustment for me in the near future too, in terms of, I am very independent and I kind of just make my own plans and then tell him what they are. Oh, by the way, I'm having dinner with so-and-so tonight. Yeah. So you're on your own for dinner. That's something that I think I'm going to have to start reevaluating more and more.
Yeah, maybe.
In the future.
And what about, like, the realities of, like, actually, like, being in a relationship and, like, handling things together or, like, just, like, what it takes to be, like, partners in life and, like, choosing to...
Like, making hard decisions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Choosing them first and all those things. What's that like for...
You know, I think that, like, once I decided that I was in and, like, all in.
Just like what Luke says in Gilmore Girls. I'm all in.
Yeah. Yeah. Once I just made that decision, mm-hmm. it's been a lot. It's been easy.
Okay.
And I think once I knew that he had made that decision,
yeah,
it was like, okay, well, we put each other first and we have those conversations and we figure out what makes the most sense for us. Mm-hmm. And I would say 99.9% of the time we're in total agreement about mm-hmm. what the best thing is. Mm-hmm. One of the things that would be a good example of that is we bought a house and we both had very specific ideas about what we were looking for mm-hmm. and about 85 to 90% of what we were looking for was total overlap. Mm. So I know a lot of couples struggle with, I like something modern and he likes something more traditional. And so, you know, there's like more of a conflict with that. And I think that neither of us had a modern versus traditional, you know, that was not a struggle for us. We mm-hmm. both like kind of vintage, cute mm-hmm. little things. And most of our criteria that we both wanted was already very similar. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't difficult. It was not difficult to make a decision about which house we wanted to put an offer on and which houses we didn't. And, you know, we just got really lucky in the first house put an offer on was the one that we ended up buying. We got really lucky, especially in this market. But then other decisions like we had like a surprise wedding. Got married. And we had to make a decision about getting married very quickly. Mm-hmm. And it just made sense. And what's funny is I think you have this idea in your mind, or at least I had this idea in my mind about, like, how this is going to go, right? You are in a relationship with someone. You decide you want to be committed. Mm-hmm. In my case, we moved in together, mm-hmm. and that was kind of our first step. And that wasn't something that I think I thought I would do before at least being engaged.
Yeah.
But life kind of just happened, and his house that he'd been living in for 3 years, the landlord decided to sell, mm-hmm. and... So it just didn't seem to make sense for him to, like, sign a lease on a place mm-hmm. for another year when we really felt like our relationship was moving in a more serious direction.
Yeah.
And I think we both had thought about it separately for a long time without saying anything, and mm-hmm. then finally I brought it up, like, because that's me.
I'm seeing a trend of the, let's talk about corn dogs.
Yeah.
Hey, are we dating? You want to be my boyfriend?
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to move together?
Yeah. Where that's I think awesome. He just kind of lets me come to those, conclusions. And I think he probably would eventually bring things up, but I just tend to be so, like, once I get an idea in my mind, mm-hmm. I have to talk about it. Uh-huh. So, which works. It works for us.
Yeah.
I just had said, like, hey, you know, what do you, I mean, have you thought about maybe like moving in together as an option? Like, is that something you've thought about? And, you know, no pressure, but I just want to know. And he was like, oh yeah, I've totally been thinking about that. And I just didn't know what you were thinking. And, you know, wanted to kind of see what was panning out with other options. And, you know, so we talked about it and we talked about a lot of options surrounding it. And it all just kind of worked out really well and really easily. And he ended up moving into the place that I was already living, which was kind of just the easiest.
So easy.
Yeah. It was the easiest the way best. To go about it. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think initially he felt like he would want to find a new place together. Because then it would feel more like, not like him just moving into my space, but financially and just time-wise, it just worked out better.
Yeah.
And so he ended up moving into my place, but we really only lived there for about 8 months.
Yeah, really?
Before we moved into our house.
Oh, okay.
So from the time that he moved in to the time that we put an offer on a house was less than 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah. It just happened really fast.
It did. Yeah.
I think once we were living together and I saw how well it was going and how, like, good it felt, it just was kind of a no-brainer to, like, okay, why are we paying money to these evil landlords?
Let's pay.
So evil.
Yeah, let's pay.
Like, why aren't we putting money into something that's an investment?
Totally.
Yeah. And then... So that decision, you know, I don't know. It's been interesting because I think I tend to be stubborn and I have my idea of how I want things to go. And he tends to be a little bit more like, whatever, you know, he'll get frustrated and he'll go, hey, whatever you want to do. And I'm like, but I do value your input. Just because I'm playing devil's advocate doesn't mean I, you know, 100%. Like, I'm just trying to, like, figure out
all of it.
All the angles.
Yeah.
And so I think that's been a little bit maybe more difficult for him than for me. We're definitely still figuring out, like, how we communicate.
Yeah, it's not, I bet.
You know, it's something I think I would hope most couples would say they're still figuring out how to communicate for many years. I mean, it's not always easy. But I think just feeling that such a secure level of commitment in our relationship... And just so, like, it just feels so secure and so safe that we can disagree and, you know,
it's gonna be
have to talk about something for 3 weeks or longer, you know, before we make a decision.
Does that feel good, knowing that a little one's coming along the way?
It does.
Because that changes everything.
Yeah. That's what I've heard. Everything's going to change.
Yeah.
And I feel like so much has changed since we, like, we put the offer on the house and then about a month later found out I was pregnant. And a couple of weeks after that, we got married. So it all kind of just happened really, really fast and not in that, like, ideal timeline that you think, okay, you know, oh, we move in together.
Like,
or
the Disney princess.
Yeah, and then we get engaged, and then we have a big wedding, and then down the line we decide it's time to have a kid, you know. For us, it just kind of all happened at once in this big, jumbled, exciting, but sometimes a little bit stressful, like, experience. But I think knowing that, okay, we've survived moving into our own house.
Yeah.
Buying a house was a super stressful experience. Just there was a lot of negotiation that had to happen, and we had to be very patient if we wanted to get this house. Just it was a really complicated transaction, and my realtor keeps saying over and over, like, no one else would have been able to deal with it, but I was just the perfect personality, or, you know, whatever.
It's the INFJ stuff.
Yeah, it's the INFJ. Exactly. So I think knowing that we've been through moving and, you know, early pregnancy, which is really hard and no fun, and a wedding, a, like, last minute wedding, rushing to get me on his health insurance because financially that just made, financially and all around, like, it just made the most sense. and just kind of waiting for that to go through. And I had one of my grandparents died. I kind of just, like, all of this stuff was happening at once. It was, like, really.
Even the first year.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's definitely been one of those things where we kind of broke all the first year rules, right? Don't move house. Don't have a baby. Mm-hmm. Don't do all these things in the first year.
But
we did it
full circle because you broke the rules and you messaged you first.
I did. I broke the rules.
And it's been, like, it's been great.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Just as an outside perspective, it seems like all these things have just been happening in, like, a great pace. And I don't know. It just seems like a really great fit for you guys.
Yeah, it is. I think when I kind of come out of it and look at, like, especially the last year, because he moved into my apartment, like, just a little over a year ago. It was the beginning of July.
Wow.
How much stuff has happened in the last year.
Yeah.
It definitely, I think, oh my God, people on the outside must think we're insane. Like, we went from just, like, living in a rented apartment to owning a home, getting married, having a kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, then once you move into the home, you know, at least ours wasn't just, like, ready to go. So then there have been, like, the remodeling projects. Mm-hmm. And when you're a hormonal pregnant person and there's remodeling projects happening and you want things to look a certain way or go a certain way and your partner maybe doesn't care as much, you know, there have definitely been, like, tearful moments in Home Depot. Like, I'll just leave it at that. But it's pretty crazy how all that stuff kind of happens. Mm. So it's all happened so fast, but when you're in it, at least for me, being in it, it's all just felt right. And it's just felt like life isn't perfect and timing isn't perfect, but this is great.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need it to be perfect. And that's huge for me.
That's a good word. Yeah. I'm always trying to make things perfect.
Yeah. I think that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a little bit. I mean, that's, like, a personality thing. And I think, too, in our culture, we see so many, you know, perfect stories and perfect lives on social media or magazines or, you know, this is my perfect fairy tale, blah, blah, blah. And, maybe it is a perfect fairy tale, but it, or maybe it's a fairy tale, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to, life doesn't have to, like, unfold in this perfect way.
Yeah.
It can be kind of messy and kind of figure it out as you go, but that doesn't mean it's not beautiful.
Yeah.
Or
I totally agree.
It doesn't mean it's not, like, worth experiencing.
Yeah, and that just, like, it helps me too, because I mean, I'm still having to kind of refine all those thoughts of, like, okay, do I you said it's not that you're lowering your standards, but you're kind of broadening your horizons when you're looking for, like, a person.
Yeah.
And, like, so you ask yourself, or at least I do, I ask myself, like, okay, what are the things that are most important and what am I willing to, like, let go of, because they're not, that's not going to be, that's, that might not bring the quality that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Or even just saying, like, okay, well, I guess I will date a gamer. Like, it's okay.
He's not the type of gamer that poops into tube socks. Oh, I just really want to say that.
Do you remember that? Yeah, Dr. Steve talked about that client he had that one time. Who, like, peed into, like, a...
Yeah, people will, like, some so people, gross. Yeah, they'll pee into, like, milk jugs and poop into tube socks.
Because they can't leave.
They can't stop playing their game.
I'm so glad to hear that he's not like that.
No.
Yeah, I'll keep my standards up so that I don't go down that road. But I don't know, just the thought of you saying, like, okay, if I, you know, I broaden my horizons and then, like, all these other things open up to me. And, like, I let go of these, like, standards.
Yeah.
And open to... Well,
I think I let go of...
What happened?
I think for me it was almost letting go of this, like, this status symbol. Mm. I don't know. Maybe not status, but there's something about... I kind of just got to a point where I had to say, I don't need this person that I want, like, a partner. I don't need them to, like, validate something about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have this idea, and I think maybe more for men, but I think for women too, like, I had this idea of, like, well, the person I choose to be with is going to be a reflection of me. And so if I'm not with the super hot dude, or like if he doesn't meet these three requirements, like if he isn't super charming and extroverted, or doesn't have like 80 bajillion contacts and friends, like what's that gonna say about me, that like I'm not, I don't know. It was some sort of like valid, so I think I had to let go of this idea that this person that I would be dating or in a relationship with had to kind of validate me in some way. And I remember reading this quote. In fact, I had it like on my, kind of a little sticky on my like desktop of my computer for a long time. But it said something along the lines of like, am I seeking like validation as a human being, like as a person through this partner, or am I seeking partnership with this person?
Wow, yeah.
And I remember reading that going, oh, yeah. Like, I think that to some extent I was choosing to date or looking to date people or looking for a partner who in some way kind of validated me and, like, made me look better.
Yeah.
And that's so messed up.
Yeah.
Like,
you essentially, like, if you do that, you use them to fill something instead instead of taking care of your own needs and not depend on someone else.
Exactly. So I think once I read that, that was kind of a turning point for me in realizing, like, maybe I have been being a little bit unrealistic or just silly in my expectations of dating, and that, like, well, I've always said I really like super tall guys, so I can only date really tall guys.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it was. Yes. And I just happened to get lucky and marry a tall person. So
that's awesome.
That works out. But yeah, I mean, I think just some of those personality traits or characteristics that I think I was also kind of more attracted to, maybe wouldn't have been sustainable for me. Someone a little more shy and introverted. It's kind of nice. It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
But I've always kind of been more into the, like, outgoing, charming
types,
you know, who can, like, charm you and make you feel like you're the most important person in the room. You know, I like that feeling.
Those are nice feelings.
Yeah. They're nice feelings. And there's, I'm certain that there are people who are wonderful partners who have those characteristics. But for whatever reason, I think a lot of the guys that I was dating who had those characteristics were not material for wonderful partners. So, you know, just some of those, like, subtle. It's subtle, those little shifts. But for me, that was extremely helpful in just kind of working on myself and identifying, like, what were my holdups and what was I doing.
I mean, as a friend, I saw you work through a lot of stuff to get to know yourself.
Yeah.
And to get to a place of health.
Yeah.
And then P came along and...
Yeah. And I was ready.
Yeah, you were.
And I think if I hadn't have done that personal, deep personal work, I would not have been able to handle how uncomfortable it was to be treated respectfully.
So nicely.
Yeah. And just, I think it was more just like the availability thing was, that was hard for me. To manage because it felt really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So personal work, counseling, and or, I don't know, whatever.
Reading.
Yeah, lots of reading, lots of, like, personal development.
Yeah.
It really does help a lot.
Yeah.
I know, and it I has think helped
just,
for me.
Just being open to, like, maybe not always... I always want to think I know exactly what's best for me, you know? But I sometimes don't. And I need to be okay with, you know, you can have this roadmap for your life and this picture of what you want things to look like. And to some extent, I feel like I look at my life right now and I'm like, I manifested this straight from the universe. Like, my life is amazing and I feel really lucky, but none of it's really kind of come about in the way that I think I would have.
The way that you maybe wanted.
Or just would have, like, pictured or imagined.
But you're still happy with it.
Super happy with
it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think just like you said, like, broadening that, just opening things up a little bit more instead of having this more narrow. And I felt like I was very open, mm-hmm. but I think that I still was hung up on some of these qualities that I was looking for. Yeah. So kind of opening that up has definitely brought a lot more love and a lot more joy my life than being more, you know, than being closed.
I like that.
Did.
I like it.
So.
So what other, what other things? We talked about dating.
Yeah.
In the last episode. You mentioned that you wanted to start a blog. Did you ever do that?
Yeah, so that's funny because at the very end of the last episode, I made this little hint about wanting to maybe start a little blog, and I've done that.
Yeah.
I followed my dream, and I have a tiny little blog. I mean, so tiny, but it's cute.
It's so cute.
And I like it.
And your Instagram's amazing.
Yeah. It's and so with fun. It, I started, like, a separate Instagram account that's all the food stuff and baking and cooking.
Yeah, and note to you guys, if you ever eat with Mel, be prepared to have your food, like, sit for a perfect picture, and then you can eat it.
Well, yeah. Yeah. The fans want to know what I'm eating all the time. People don't really care. Everybody. It's not that important. But
no, it is because
it's fun.
I actually, we were at the food courts, and one of my friends that I went to Multnomah with, she follows, you know, me. And I always, like, post pictures whenever we hang out or whatever, and she was like, oh my gosh, you're friends with Mel? Like, I follow her food blog. Like, what is it like to eat out with her?
Oh my gosh.
I was like, it's awesome.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
And she was, like, so stoked that I knew someone that she followed, and, like, she just found you. And
awesome. I think what it's like to eat out with me is really wacky, probably.
No, I think it's awesome. We always have great conversations and really good food.
Fun.
Yeah, yeah, really totally good food. Wacky. And then we always try to, like, take pictures of it.
Yeah, you gotta take pictures.
Yeah, so we can tell everybody where we're eating and what we're doing.
Yeah, especially when you eat, like, really awesome shaved ice. That was good.
That was so good.
So good.
So it's a food blog, and you make your own recipes?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, recipes. Mostly baked goods, but some different stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is it called?
It's called Sweet Revenge PDX.
How'd you come up with that?
That actually is a dating story.
No way!
this guy that I dated probably 9 months before I met Pete, we had dated, and I don't know, I was, like, instantly smitten and just, like, really...
Was he one of those guys that you talked about before?
I don't think I talked about him because I was still probably pretty heartbroken.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. He screwed me over. Oh, it was bad.
Yeah.
So I was really heartbroken, and he made me feel like he was really interested in me, and we've been dating for, like, a couple months, and went to the coast, like, for a weekend away, and I was oh my God, this is happening, like, oh my God, and there was just so much about him that I really, I don't know, it just, I think it was feeding this validation part of me, you know, but there was something about him that I just couldn't, I felt, like, hooked.
Yeah.
I felt like I lost some of my personal power, or I don't know, but at the time, I didn't feel like that until... He just dropped off the face of the earth after, like, we spent a weekend together. And then he was like, what are you doing this week? And let's hang out. And then I literally never heard from him again. So it was just really, really hurtful. And one of the things that we talked a lot about was pie, because I love pie and I like to bake pie. And he had told me that someone had once made this peanut butter pie for him that was, like, the best peanut butter pie he'd ever had. And I said, oh, well... Your birthday's coming up, so for your birthday, I'm going to make you this peanut butter pie, and it's going to be the best you've ever had, or I will try really hard to make it really tasty. And he was like, all right, deal, you know. And, of course, by his birthday, he had completely ghosted and disappeared, and I was like, I'm never going to make peanut butter pie. You know, because this guy, you know, I'll just think of him and my heart's so broken.
Yeah.
And I was telling a coworker that story, and I was saying, you know, I realize that I can't let this guy and his, like, jerkness stop me from making the world's best peanut butter pie.
Yeah.
Like, I think now I need to make this peanut butter pie and I need to make the world's best peanut butter pie. And then he will never, ever mm-hmm. get to have it.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to miss out on it. He'll never know
yeah.
that I've made the world's best peanut butter pie, and he will never know that. And that will be my sweet revenge. And we both looked at each other, and she goes, "That's your blog name. That's your blog name, sweet revenge." And so it just kind of came from that, this idea that, like, yeah.
Wow.
I can make
that's awesome
amazing stuff. And, you know, it kind of started out maybe as, like, a negative, like, actual revenge thing. But now it's, I think it's kind of evolved more into, like, this is my way of, like, sharing, I don't know, this part of me. Like, I love to cook and I love mm-hmm. to bake and I love to feed those things to people. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's kind of how I spread love and yeah. joy and happiness and find a lot of meaning mm-hmm. in my life. And so it's, you know, it's not, it's like the opposite of revenge.
No, you know? That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. I like that. I had never heard that story. That's awesome. Oh,
it's on my blog.
Okay, I'll have to go back and read it. Your last entry was really sweet because you told the story of, like, your house and how you had dreamed of having berries and trees yeah. and everything, and you didn't even know that
they were there. Even know.
They yeah. were there after you bought the house.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very exciting awesome. To, especially this spring, because we moved in March. And we put the offer on December, so mm-hmm. everything was dead.
Mm-hmm. You know? And you didn't know any of we that didn't know was around.
What was there. And then we found out probably in the end of January, a neighbor pointed out some of the fruit trees mm-hmm. and some of the berries. Mm-hmm. But then we found even more this spring and mm-hmm. summer as things just started blooming awesome. And growing. Yeah, so it was very exciting because I think a big goal of mine in buying a house was having space to garden and grow things and then use those things to bake and make food and
yeah.
have dinners maybe and
spread the love.
And spread all of the love.
Yeah.
So cool. We're just, you know, one step closer.
That's awesome.
Yeah. With a little minor, you know, time setback of
right, just a little
birthing
bit.
A human and, you know, getting all that stuff figured out.
It's not
going
to take that long.
But, yeah, it's exciting. It's awesome. Very exciting.
Well, do you have anything else you want to spill the beans about? Any other, like, big life updates or things you're thinking of? Or
I think the only thing I would say is that pregnancy hormones are real.
And they, like, what do they do to you?
They're just very real. I don't want to scare anyone out of being pregnant, but that's been my main...
is that hinting at the Home Depot breakdowns?
Oh, gosh, probably, yeah. Home Depot breakdowns. I'm trying to think of the funniest reason I've cried. Probably one night we were still in the apartment, so we had an upstairs bedroom and a downstairs living area. And I was sitting at the dining room table downstairs just sobbing because I was so tired and I couldn't walk up the stairs to go to bed.
Oh, no.
Like, I was so tired and just I was so done with the day, and I was just sitting at the table sobbing. Pete was like, "Just walk upstairs and go to bed." And I was like, "I can't. It's too hard." And I probably sat there for a good 15 minutes crying before I could go upstairs.
I get it.
And I still sometimes feel like I'm sitting at the dining room table crying.
Really?
Because I haven't done that
yeah.
quite that extreme, but it's so weird. Your body kind of you stop feeling like you're 100% in control of your body.
Yeah, because it's doing all these things without your permission.
Yeah.
It's just doing it.
Yeah, it's just doing it, yeah.
It's That's just crazy.
Making another human and
oh my gosh.
Hormones and, yeah. So it's definitely...
So it's real.
Yeah, it's very real and it's interesting. I feel really grateful that I chose a partner who's so supportive and loving mm-hmm. because I don't think I'm easy to love right now.
I'm sure. It's not that bad.
It's probably really bad.
Just keep making him sweet treats, and I'm sure he'll
yeah.
forgive you.
Yeah. I just, yeah. you know, I keep making him dinner. And so
yeah. And that, I'm sure, yes, makes him happy. Complain. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks, Belle, for filling us in and pouring out more of your wisdom.
All of it.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
Wise.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
gosh, I love Mel so much, and I'm so excited to see what the next couple of years holds as she becomes a new mom. Thank you so much for listening to Spill the Beans. You can find Spill the Beans on iTunes, and while you're there, take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and leave a review on iTunes. Every review gives iTunes a heads up on what podcasts are cool or not. I think this one is pretty cool. Last thing I ask of you is that you share Spill the Beans with friends in real life or on social media. Spill the Beans was created to be a comfy place to listen to stories, laugh, and make some new friends. I hope you have a really great day, and I will talk to you soon. Bye, friends!